This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Cabo Jim Schaller.
Welcome, Good Neighbors, to episode number 104 of the Good Neighbor Podcast, Estero. Today we have Good Neighbor Ann Frazier from the Lee Health Foundation talking about Kids Minds Matter. Ann, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate being here.
I'm excited to learn a little bit more about what you do at the foundation and with Kids Minds Matter. So why don't you share a little bit to start off with about what you guys do?
Sure. Great. So I do work for the Lee Health Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the Lee Health System. We work to raise funds to benefit the citizens of our community. And in particular, I am the lead foundation representative for Kids Minds Matter, which started in 2017. And it is our initiative to bring awareness and funds that will drive support and opportunities for increased access to pediatric mental and behavioral health care in our 5-county region. So that means Lee, Collier, Glades, Hendry, and Charlotte counties.
Wow, very nice and very important. So what is your mission and vision with Kids Minds Matter?
Sure. So the vision is really to ensure that all children receive the right care at the right place and at the right time, making sure that there's a full continuum of services available in our region. Sadly, Jim, we know that 1 in 5 children will be diagnosed with a mental health illness in their lifetime. And unfortunately, Florida ranks one of the worst states in the nation. And our area, Southwest Florida, is ranked some of the worst counties in the worst state in the nation for mental health services and support. So we have to do something different. And that's why Kids Minds Matter started back in 2016, really as an idea, and really got going in 2017 to make a difference, to focus on improving access to care, to build capacity in our region, and really to engage the community and partnerships so we can change the way we talk about and treat mental health.
Absolutely. And all very important. So can I ask how you got started or why you got started in this foundation?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually been with the Lee Health Foundation for, going on 8 years now. And I've always been someone who has been drawn to nonprofit work. I've taken those tests over the years, and they've always said propensity to want to give back. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, so this is kind of who I am as a person. But healthcare is something I could never deny. Healthcare is one of those basic needs that we all need. And it's interesting how God kind of puts things in front of you. If we're really, truly honest, Jim, I think all of us have been impacted in some way, shape or form by either yourself or having a family member that's impacted by a mental illness. And frankly, that is the case for me. My mother lives with mental illness and is something that has been an overarching theme in my entire life, including today. She's still with us today. And something that, you know, my sister and I have been impacted with, my entire family really has been impacted by. So it's interesting that, you know, that Kids Minds Matter kind of became the, you know, my beat, so to speak, for Lee Health Foundation. And it was really the right thing, because I have such a passion to make sure that other children and families get the right care that they need so that they can go on to live, laugh, love is like what we like to say, that they can go on to live, you know, as much of a normal life as possible. There is help out there. And the most important thing is that we know that if someone gets help early, then they are more likely to get back to that normal life. So there is help, there is support. We just have to make it available for our children and our families. The great news is that if we can get preventative services early, over 90% of people that live with a mental illness can live that normal life. Unfortunately though, we know that on average, it takes 8 to 10 years for someone to get help. By the time the first signs kind of present themselves, we're waiting 8 to 10 years. And if you think about that, if there's an 8-year-old child that is showing symptoms of anxiety or depression, and we just now notice, and then it takes 8 to 10 years to get them the help they need, we've already lost them. We've lost them to being an adult. We've lost them to drugs, alcohol, or worse, to death by suicide. And we can't risk that anymore. We've got to do better. And we know we have the tools out there. We know what we can do. We just have to make it happen. And unfortunately, that takes the support of the community, and it takes fundraising, and it takes partners getting together saying, no, we're going to do something different for our kids. We're going to change the mental health landscape in Southwest Florida and make care and access to care available and affordable for our children and families.
Very, very important on all those topics. Is there something that, is there a myth or misconception that we can clear up about the mental health care in general?
Sure, yeah. And then I kind of alluded to that earlier, that, a lot of people feel like, oh, they have a mental illness, and then they don't talk about it. And we want to kind of take that out and say, no, we need to talk about it. We need to normalize the conversation so that people do feel okay to get help. And a lot of times people kind of write folks off. Oh, they have a mental illness. Oh, they'll never get better. Well, that's not true. If we can get them the right care, we can make a difference. The right therapies, the right medication, the right modalities. There is, so much evidence out there that shows that we can help children and families go back to that normal, happy, live, laugh, love, life. However, if we don't do it early enough, then oftentimes we do lose, unfortunately, those children to and families to other things. And there's so much heartache and there's so much pain that we could eliminate if we could just get the right care early on.
Absolutely. Now, are there signs for people to help? I don't want to say recognize that, like you had mentioned. You had mentioned some of them earlier, but obviously there's probably some signs that we as people can help address.
Absolutely. Well, and I do want to mention just to your listeners, suicide, sadly, is the second leading cause of death for children ages 10 to 14 statewide. And, that to me, basically, let's put it this way. Every 24 hours or so, you have a child giving back the gift of life. And we don't have enough resources to do anything about it. And to me, that's on us. We need to make a difference. So, absolutely, we know that there are signs and symptoms to look out for. And one of the things that we do with Kids Minds Matter is we teach people mental health first aid, and it's something that we provide free of charge to the community. But we have taught, I think over 300 people in our community now mental health first aid. And that is helping them recognize the signs and symptoms. So, there are things that our community can do. If you notice something off in a child, just ask them, are you okay? Just ask the question and show that you mean it. Really listening and sitting with a person and maintaining open body position, comfortable eye contact, that really matters for children. And I've heard this directly from children speaking at some of our events. They said, we want to talk to our parents. We want to talk to somebody. But oftentimes we're afraid that we're going to get yelled at. We're afraid that we're going to get in trouble. And we need to, as adults and authority figures, sometimes we need to just kind of take a step back and let that child talk and share with us how they're feeling, what they're experiencing, and maybe open up the conversation and just say, I've noticed that, you've been showing up to work a lot lately, or that you can't seem to get out of bed. And just express genuine concern with children. Maybe engage them outside of the home and say, hey, would you like to take a walk? Maybe engage a friend or family member or another loved one to, get them involved in a healthy activity. That's a good way of starting a conversation, kind of getting them out of their environment. And then also, pitching a ball back and forth, having a conversation, things like that, that, make them feel like they're not so much on the spot, but kind of get them in like a, just a more relaxed setting. And then one thing that we teach is to very directly ask the question, are you considering, are you thinking about self-harm? And this is something that we say, you know, you don't have to say, are you going to kill yourself? You certainly can say that, but like, have you thought about hurting yourself? Just ask that question directly, because, you know, it's very easy for someone to elude that question. But if you ask them, are you considering suicide or self-harm? Are you thinking about hurting yourself? That can open up a dialogue that could potentially save a life. And so, you know, these are just little things that we help teach in mental health first aid classes. And I just want to tell your listeners also, there's a lot of times where children may not feel comfortable talking to the parent, but they may feel comfortable with that aunt or the uncle or the neighbor or grandma or grandpa. So this is really an onus to all of us in the community to get out there and educate yourself, because you might be that person in the child's life that they feel more comfortable talking to. Now, we don't want you to go out and, you know, provide medical attention and guidance, but we do want you to be that first barrier and that connector to say, you know, can we maybe get you somebody to talk to, or maybe can we get you to get some, to see some help, and try to connect them to resources. Cause that can be so important, and really could be that one pivotal thing that could help save that child's life.
And like you had mentioned, you know, kids have, I'm going to say, strange ways of reaching out, but you know, they're not always the most direct when they're asking for something, and they go to people that they trust, and it may not be their parents. Like you said, it could be a friend, it could be a relative, and those people need to be aware as well. Now you mentioned some of the resources. Are there additional resources available for the kids and families?
Absolutely. So I would just encourage everyone to go to our website, kidsmindsmatter.com, and that's K-I-D-S, kids, plural, minds, M-I-N-D-S, matter.com. And on that website, we have a whole section for resources. So there's a great opportunity for folks to go through and see a lot of our videos. We have a great partnership with Wink News called Mental Health Mondays. So every Monday, we'll bring on a member of the community or an expert to talk about an area around mental health and children. So it's a really good you know, resource for parents to go to get tips and tricks. Things, you know, things to be mindful of, to watch out for, ways that they can help kids. And then additionally, besides the resources, we have links to podcasts, to other articles that might have been written that can really help our children and our families. In addition, we offer classes. So again, part of Kids Minds Matter funding, we try to make this available to the community free of charge. And so some of the classes we offer are parenting classes. So dignified discipline, parenting the difficult child. There's so many parents that we've heard from that say, thank God for these classes. These are the one hour of the week that I look forward to, because I feel like I'm not alone. I get help and support and resources. And I have other parents that get what I'm going through, because when you're, you know, you have a child that has extreme behavior or mental health challenges, it can be feel so lonely and so ostracizing. So it's important for us to show support for our parents as well. So we do offer these classes, virtual and online. So hey, we're all used to a virtual world, and so this is an opportunity to really make it accessible for our families, because we know it can be tough. It can be tough to leave work and then have to parent your kid and go to a class an hour a week, you know, and travel there. So we do offer them virtually as well. And again, these are free to our community members. So I do encourage anyone that's struggling to, you know, jump into one of our classes, you know, reach out to us. You can email us through info@kidsmindsmatter.com, but please take a moment to go through our resources and see how we can maybe help you, because together, you know, we're going to make a difference.
Absolutely. And it doesn't, you don't necessarily need to know somebody going through that. You just need to care about some of that. So how would other people get involved if they just care about helping children and making sure that they have the resources and the ability?
Well, I am so glad you asked, because obviously, you know, we do try to raise funds, but we also try to raise friends. So someone can get involved by going online to our website or reaching out to me or through our info@kidsmindsmatter.com. They can make a donation. That helps us. That helps us provide, bring more providers to the area, help us open more clinics. But in addition, they can be an advocate. So we have a whole section on our website called Advocacy. And that's where we ask you to go on and help advocate our state and our government and our local legislators for more mental health resources and support. We have a lot of great sample letters. We have different bills out there that we're trying to support and asking folks just to help write one of their local legislators to help make a difference. But advocate for mental health. They can also go on and be a fundraiser. Just have that conversation in your community. We have what we call a lot of little house parties or neighborhood events. If you're involved in a civic group or want to bring this conversation to light, I have worked with a lot of individuals to have little parties in their home that is just normalizing the conversation around mental health. That's just making our community members aware of the struggles and how much we need more support, especially in our area, for mental health resources. So we've had a lot of these little house parties that just help us normalize the conversation and get people talking and get people knowing more about what is out there and what can be done. Because when we normalize the conversation, we normalize the conversation for our kids, and we help them feel more comfortable coming to us and talking about their struggles.
Absolutely. Anne, it's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I appreciate and thank you for all you're doing for the community and the kids in the community. And thank you for being such a good neighbor.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for being a great neighbor and bringing this to light.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Estero. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpestero.com. That's gnpestero.com. Or call 239-296-2621.